Welcome to The Other Discovery Show, the podcast that is not about podcasts. It's about all the other things that we've discovered throughout the week. I'm Kirk.
I'm Zach.
And we have a special guest this week.
Richie from Brands and Empires.
Question, Richie, what's it like to be a viral YouTube person?
I'll let you know when I get there.
So I've been watching some of your channel, and I've learned a lot about, I guess...
No, you haven't. I don't teach
brands.
You
Brands and Empires?
Both brands.
Well, I watched your most famous video, and the whole time I'm like...
Does this guy ever blink?
No, no, no. My question was, what's DTG? He just keeps saying DTG, and I don't know what it means.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you right now.
I know what it means
direct
now.
Direct to garment.
I know what it means now.
Yes.
I literally, halfway through your video, I'm like, what the freak?
Google it.
I got to find out. I need to know.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. I geared that video
so
towards people who were like in the market to go buy one of these $20,000 machines that it didn't even occur to me that anybody else would ever watch it.
I will say that you did it in a way that I was even interested in it. And I don't make shirts. So that's, you did do a good job. I'm not
Kirk.
I'm not,
shocking.
I'm Kirk, not Kirk wanted to make shirts
after that video. I need to go out and buy a DTG.
No, definitely. It was the opposite.
There you go. I don't know what DTG is, but I need to do it.
I need one right now in my life. Yeah.
So, yeah, you have a YouTube channel.
I do.
Brands and Empires, right?
That is the name of my YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's a
good
one.
It's growing. Yeah. So, I started it just because, you know, I figured I've got a screen printing and embroidery business, and I've been in the promotional products industry for 10 years now. I might as well just get into social media because I felt like a lot of the stuff that was being put out there from people who were good entertainers, but had been in the business for like 6 months was content thin and opinion rich. And that's why my third video was that one where I'm just like, all right, so you've heard from these people who will convince you of anything that you should go out and drop 20 grand, but whoa, there's a whole nother side of the story from 3 years of ownership that you really need to know about. And that's kind of where I did. I had no idea that I was going to get more than 30 views on that thing. It was just,
yeah. I mean, it's one of the, I feel like that's just the internet.
It is. Yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah. No, people who, and kind of both sides of this, people who don't really have the opinion that would be appropriate for, I want to believe this person. They have the knowledge. It doesn't really matter. They're going to throw their opinion out there. And sometimes that'll hit too. But you kind of went at it from like practicality and tried to approach it that way. And I think people appreciate that. And that's probably why it hit.
I heard it two ways. You know, like you have this is in terms of like dietary practices.
Sure.
You have something like the China study that comes out. That's 30 years worth of research, hundreds of cited studies. And then you have something like the paleo diet book that comes out and some dude's opinion on how Neanderthals ate. And they're given equal footing. It's like, oh, well, you know, this guy has an opinion and this guy has an opinion. And just because they've been given a national stage, you just think they're equal, even though there's a lot of depth behind one and there's not behind another. And that's how the internet is. It's whoever's got the loudest voice, the most traction is the one that goes. And, you know.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's super dangerous.
It's just the internet. So always take your internet knowledge with a grain of salt because sometimes people don't actually know what they're talking about, even though they will pretend to.
Right, and they will convince you that they know what they're talking about.
Oh, no, and people are very convincing at it. They will act like they are the authority on some subject. Doesn't mean they actually are.
That's exactly right.
And so it's complicated. But yeah, that's great, man. We're thrilled to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man.
I'm glad to be here.
I want to tell you guys about something that I found out.
Tell me.
Did you know that North Korea has rewritten basketball rules?
You can't be over 5'4"?
I have... Is that a rule? Is there a height rule in basketball? It's like, you must be over 6 feet or just stop. Just, you're not going to, it's going to be bad.
So this is the Herald Sun where I got this. I have to read this whole article. So I wanted to say where I got it from. Because the whole thing, there's just so much in here. Because, former North Korean leader Kim Jong-il self-reported 38 under round of golf is nothing compared to what his, let me get it's ridiculous.
No, 38 under is like world champion, the best that's ever played it.
It's better than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, the best that ever did it.
Let me get to the it's
nobody
it's
contested
nuts.
It. Everybody confirmed it.
It's like, oh, that's true. He was riding a dragon while he did it.
The most honorable leader, yeah.
It's nothing compared to what his son Kim Jong-un has cooked up on the basketball court. Oh. We all remember the shockwaves felt throughout the golfing world when North Korea's state-run media revealed Tiger Woods' golfing ability was a very distant second to that of their dear leader. Kim reportedly nailed 11 holes in one and shot a 38 under.
11 hole in ones.
This is in one game. Not just
it's pretty impressive. 38
under par round of 34. The first time, listen to this, the first time he ever picked up a club.
Oh, wow. What a natural.
Must be nice to be a goddamn.
So this was in 1994. The report was verified. It was verified by 17 trusty security guards. There was 19, but the other two are dead now.
Yeah, the two that were like, what are you talking about? They were immediately deported to the ocean.
They all agreed
deported,
that
Kim, that's a polite word.
They all agreed that Kim shot no worse than a birdie on any hole and recorded a score 21 shots better than any professional golfer in history. Incredible stuff for a 52-year-old who'd never played the game before.
I agree with that statement, at least with that last line. I can't wait
to see what's going on with basketball.
Oh, it's so good. But North Korea, now ruled by his son, has turned its game-changing attention to basketball, reinventing the scoring system.
I mean, it's got to be a genetic thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're just great at sports.
Naturally, amazing. Just pure natural. Step in and win.
Forget about the final moments of a game taking half an hour as teams relentlessly send each other to the free throw line. Why not continue to shoot field goals, which quadruple in value to 8 points during the last 3 minutes? Or get yourself a bonus point for a slam dunk. Here's the list of rules.
The slam dunk rule makes sense.
Slam dunks are
one
now...
one point for a slam dunk?
No, I'm saying because exactly what you said. I feel like generally they are shorter than Americans are. So like... there's extra value to being able to dunk.
Is it against the rules for them to like climb on each other's shoulders and like team sport the thing?
It seems like it would be. Maybe. Who knows?
So slam dunks are now worth 3 points instead of two.
Okay.
I get that one. I don't get this one. Field goals, which is just, I guess, a regular shot.
Yeah, it's shooting.
In the final 3 minutes of the game are now worth 8 points.
So like when somebody just lobs the ball from...
Yes, a layup... in the last 3 minutes is worth 8 points.
Okay.
Three-pointers are now worth four if the ball doesn't touch the rim.
Three equals four. Okay. Oh, yeah. If it doesn't touch the rim.
How
do you prove that? They don't have cameras in North Korea. Like,
They do.
At least not on the hoops. It's all on people, right?
Like, yeah.
This one Shaq would hate. A point is deducted for missed free throws.
Yeah, so Shaq's done.
So...
oh, so if you miss, you're out.
Yeah. Well, you miss.
No, not just you're out. You lose a point. Not just you get no point.
That's rough.
You lose one.
What's the free throw percentage for an NBA?
Well, Shaq was barely over 50.
I would be surprised if Shaq was at 50.
So he would pretty much be at a net zero.
Yes. No.
Unless one of the rules is they need a double win.
Well, I mean, he was putting up 20, 30 points a game because he could just walk up to the basket and just like stick it in there. Oh, yeah. But like.
Go to the general and save some time.
Yeah, he was not hitting free throws, I'll say that. Dwight Howard would be a liability on your team. It's just going to be negative.
It was just such a funny story. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
Why even do it?
Because you can.
Because
I was waiting to hear that Kim Jong-un scored like 300 points.
Yeah,
no,
the first time Kim Jong-un played basketball, he shot a hole-in-one every single time he shot it.
And everybody clapped.
There's a video that was linked to this to this article. I didn't watch it, but it had to do with him and his basketball experience. So I'm pretty sure it shows him shooting, and then a frame, like a completely different shot of the basket hoop just
the
going
ball
straight
going in.
In.
It's like
cut, the sun's in a completely different spot.
Hard cut.
You can see the guy's feet that's standing on the hoop just dropping the ball.
Which, they probably already cut him off.
I mean, he was friends with Dennis Rodman for a while.
He was. Yeah. There was a lot of guys that like he tried to invite over, very famous people, and some of them weren't allowed to go back. But
I mean, Dennis Rodman does what Dennis Rodman's going to do. He's not really concerned. But yeah, he was hanging out with him for a while. But that's wild.
Is that what you discovered?
That is not what I discovered. Okay. What I discovered is depression recipes. And first of all,
yeah, is this, it if you're depressed, or is it during the depression?
The Great Depression.
Okay. Depression recipe.
No, it's not like ice cream. The depression recipe is like, I don't know, bread. Like whatever you can just like force yourself to eat. Government, I don't know, cheese, like ramen noodles.
I don't know if they had access to bread if they were like that.
I'm talking about actual depression. Actual depression is like depression recipes for if you're depressed is like alcohol, bread, ramen noodles.
Some bougie depression.
Yeah, just. I mean, I don't know which part of that's bougie. That all sounds the opposite of that.
Eating like a high-end hobo here.
I mean, the Great Depression was something that we kind of learned about in school, but it's not something that I don't know if we fully appreciate as adults. Okay, so the Great Depression, stock market crashes.
Okay.
It shockwaves to the entire world because of how bad this is. Literally, we were looking at trade plunged by 50%. 50%, half. Unemployment rose to 25%, and in some countries, rose as high as 33%. One out of three people is now unemployed.
Wow.
Literally starvation. People having to stand in line and wait for somebody to help them because just there's nothing.
I have a very dumb question, and this has to do with me not learning very well in history class because of our school.
I mean, yeah, our teacher.
The Great Depression was worldwide? I thought it was mainly in the U.S.
It was in the U.S., but that's our view on it. All of this, if something this significant happens here, it would spread.
It went everywhere, right?
Yeah, because,
right.
You know, okay.
All we learned was an American history perspective of it. I'm with you.
I thought it was like the American stock market
crashed.
No, we did.
It did. But that affects a lot of things because we're highly involved in worldwide trade and
but
buying and selling.
As much. Pre-World War II, our economy didn't really blow up until after World War II, right?
No, not as much, but still, even then, it was something that was felt across the world because of just the level of impact it had, even on this country.
Okay.
Because if you're talking about quarter unemployment, it would be unacceptable now. One out of four people has no job, can't get a job. Mm. That is significant. It's incredible. But what this article is about how people started to make food to try and feed their family as cheaply as possible during this time. Because literally there was like soup lines. You know, people would go wait in line to just try and get food. People would just try and find any way they could to make ends meet, you know, because they had no options. And there was bankers and executives that were just on the street and you're done. And
right,
it was, and literally policy has changed. I don't think that we could have a Great Depression right now because literally there are different rules for how the stock market operates today because of the Great Depression. They changed things so that it couldn't bottom out the same way.
Right. It wouldn't happen the same
right.
way.
Right. They literally put rules in to try and avoid this ever happening again. It was that significant of a time in American history. Yeah. But I just wanted to tell you that so you understood the time that we were in. And then this blog kind of went through some depression era recipes and things that you could make so that you could try to experience what it was like to. And I mean, honestly, I feel like there was starvation at this time. So there was some people who were just doing whatever you could. But at the same time, there were some recipes that these people had investigated and found that were out of this era, and I thought it was interesting. So they had pork stew. So they had a lot of soups because that's a great way to stretch.
You can thin it out.
That's a great way to stretch what you have. You put everything you have in a bowl, you add water, you make it more, you go. So and I'll share all this so you guys can check out all the recipes. But basically, they will tell you how to make all this. Old-fashioned corn and potato salad sounds super Southern. Like
it does.
Me, for one, I've heard my grandparents talking about eating like mayonnaise salads all the time. And like my grandpa would eat like mayonnaise and banana sandwiches. It was a different time post-Depression era.
Yep.
They ate different things.
I will say this. I have two grandparents. They're no longer with us, but I remember growing up and going to their house, and there was a sense of they were food hoarders.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people.
No, it's, because it, they no, went it through sticks. This.
Yep.
It sticks.
And they were so terrified of going through that again, that they just, they pickled everything, they froze everything. I mean, you'd go into there and they're like, they would have dates on. I'm like, this is 20 year old freaking.
It's bulging from botulism. Yeah, like, let's get rid of it, grandma. No.
Yes. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. We're not getting rid of that. And it's just like, it was a thing that if you know somebody that went through it, there is something that has stuck with them. And it's usually something like that.
Yeah.
Like a hoarding ideology or like food.
Is there anybody left that went through the Great Depression like that though?
Here's the thing. Like, our grandparents, their parents did. So right. if your grandparent has four freezers at their house, that is because of the Great Depression.
Learned habits.
Yes. Yeah, their parents told them like, have enough because they did not. People were starving. People were starving all the time. They ran, like, it was a really bad time. And okay, I'll read you this recipe just so you get a sense of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This one is called cream tuna on toast. Literally 1/4 cup margarine, 1/4 cup flour, 2 cups milk, 1 can of tuna. So 1 can of protein for, and let's see how many this feeds. Serves 4, 1 can of tuna. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's stretching.
The picture doesn't look good either.
No, it's
it looks gross.
It does not look appetizing. And I mean, it's on toast. You
looks
know,
like thin oatmeal.
So it serves like 4 stretch. And it probably costs.
It costs
a dollar.
Easily like a dollar.
And so that's what I'm saying. But I love that perspective of this isn't just like.
This is solutions to a crisis.
Yeah, like eat grass, you know, try and just like eat something. They were trying to cook something for their family. You know, this is for a family. It serves 4.
They know they have no money.
It serves 4. What can we do to make a recipe so that everybody can eat how we can deal with it? Mm-hmm. You know, and okay. First of all, this one is not disgusting. This is called cornmeal griddle cakes. And if you've never had
that's like your grandma's like, hoe cakes, right?
Yes. If you've never had savory pancakes, go try it. It's great.
Let's read the recipe in its entirety out.
Cornmeal, flour, baking powder, salt, an egg, milk, and fat. And there, it just says go fat make it, because just
based on that alone,
literally
no measurements.
Seriously, just trust me. Yeah, pancakes are amazing. They have
no, but fat is different than butter. It's very rich.
Well, lard, fat, whatever, yeah. Like whatever is available is kind of what this implies to me if they say fat. But like seriously, trust me. Savory pancakes with syrup, it's on point. My grandma makes something she calls hoe cakes. And okay, I'll tell you the lore behind it. What they said is you cook it on a hoe, you know, you cook it on like a hoe Depression era. Okay. And so you cook it on a hoe, you'd stick it in the fire and you cook it on there and it's a pancake, but it's savory. It's got cornmeal in it. It's not sweet in itself. Then you hit it with a little syrup. I'm telling you, it's next level. So that's a great Depression era recipe. And then they have even a dessert. And this is one of those things that, like, it's not necessary. It's not survival, but it's human, you know, to, like, have that a step beyond survival. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not just survival. Let's have something that is a step beyond that.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's a dessert recipe as well. But yeah, I'd love for you guys to check out all these recipes. Maybe try one out. Griddle cakes, I guarantee you're going to be delicious because I've had something very similar and it's great. But it's just cool to see people who were fighting through a terrible time in American for sure, world history as well. And they fought for trying to make food for their family and trying to find a way to make it so that they could stretch the limited supplies they had to make a meal.
So on the exact same note, just as depressing and stuff
I believe
Richie,
it.
Richie, please tell us about what your first discovery is.
Oh, God.
So this week, I discovered something. And
I heard you know, it changed your life.
It did. It definitely changed
my life. I've never been the same after.
Die Woody's, Legal Boss or whatever. My buddy sent like a 30-second clip of this video to me on Instagram. And it's like these two high as heck German guys that are just doing whatever they want to do in tune with this pre-recorded music. And it was like just a short clip. I was like, there has to be more to
this.
So
are they just feeling the music and just...
It's recorded. They did this on purpose.
It was like a public broadcasting type channel, but they played it to like a room of at least 500 people or more, and it was all about like preserving the forest and being like kind to the environment. I found this out after the fact, but
I'm going to throw this out to the live streamers. Please watch the guy playing the bongos. Those bongos are like fake tree trunks, and it's not actually bongos. And he's just like,
it was, yeah, he's so high. And they even miss their like bird calls. It's just, I'm telling you, the 30th time you watch it, it's better than it's better than the 29th.
So ridiculous.
I can't.
I'm like, it's been a long time since I've seen this video. Oh my God. They're both wearing like suspenders and freaking like, it's ridiculous.
Ashley's gonna die. I think she's got this on the TV at home. I tried to make her watch this so much.
She's like, no, don't make me try.
No.
It is one of the wildest videos I've ever seen. And like, it's been a long time. I'm really glad you brought this, actually. It's freaking ridiculous.
I had never seen this before this week. It was just perfect timing.
You are welcome, everybody.
That's got to be my favorite song.
The best
week.
Song of all time.
Thank you, Owner of Own.
Owner of Own gets it. It's it's.
Oh man,
I don't
it's
know.
The best.
There's I don't even know how to describe. The first time I saw that video, I was just like, what am I watching? What is happening right now?
I mean, all the like the subtle misses where they're not even paying attention to lip sync in time.
It's not on time even a little bit. It's like, you guys made this video.
They're in front of like 1,000 people, and you know that they are as high as you could possibly be doing what they're doing. It's just it's the best.
They
the
made
Germans
it.
Ate it up too.
Yeah, I mean they were all about it. So I mean, what's effective is effective. You can't argue with effective.
They definitely preserve their environment after that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's people like them that are saving the trees.
Thank
that,
you.
They're the reasons that we're drinking
Thank
out of plastic.
It's a controlled burn
straws.
Probably in their trees. I don't know.
All right. So I have a discovery this week that was brought from Keith in our Podcast Discovery Club. If you're not in the Podcast Discovery Club, go over to Facebook. Sorry. And join the club. It's very fun. We always have discoveries. Actually, almost every single day we have a discovery from us, and then other club members share stuff as well.
Yeah, we don't know how to make it so you can just join without us having to accept you,
We're
but we will
to.
Always accept you.
You should like be able to open the page up, right?
We did it's
that.
Public.
And then it,
but still, know. They have to like request membership, but trust me, we'll let you in. Just ask. We will. We just don't know how to fix it.
Okay. Right.
We're working on it. But so there's... The name of this castle is there's a castle in Texas, of course it's in Texas, called Shangri-La, and it's full of llamas. And
I was gathering that from the name of it.
Tell me more.
And I love this. It's a very short article, but there's so many pictures of llamas and stuff. Most of us can agree that llamas are some of the most adorable animals on earth, and one North Texas farm provides an unparalleled opportunity to play with them. Shangri-La is a replica Irish castle with 7 members of its own very own royal family. Classes, nature works, and birthday parties and other special events are just some of the activities offered. And the place looks awesome. I mean, the property is huge. It's literally a castle in the middle of Texas.
But the llamas live in the rooms, or they're just like on property?
I don't know. I mean, they look like they're everywhere.
2.5-hour llama walk around?
As you traverse the earthy gravel path, a knowledgeable tour guide will offer more than 50 interesting facts.
50 facts. It's very specific.
You know he's got index cards.
About the quirky creatures. The activity is available from November until May for ages 8 and up. That's because the 7-year-old got bit last time. On weekends and one weekday during the summer and holidays, llama lessons are held.
A different weekday each time, though.
So weird. This 1-hour educational experience is teaching you absolutely everything about llamas, including their differences from alpaca.
Because people care about that.
Like, that's topical. It's topical. People, it's relevant. You got to talk about what
it's
people care about.
It's like asking the real questions.
Stupid alpacas always taking llamas fire.
Oh, man. It's so great. It is so great that this place exists. And he got this from the same website where he found out about the, what was it, like the sub sandwich, hot ice cream sandwich thing that he found.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's like a website
that talks about Reddit subreddit.
No, it's only in your state, and it talks about all the random amazing things that you might have in your state that you have no clue about.
Yeah, and I had no clue that was in our state. I still want to go get one of those sub ice cream things. It's like a donut. Okay, so it's a sub sandwich, but it's a donut with ice cream in it instead of like any of that other stuff.
I mean, of all the things coming out of Florida, that's probably one of the most tame.
That's the healthiest thing that we've created.
That's true.
Is a donut ice cream sandwich.
I mean, the first time I had like one of the double Krispy Kreme bacon cheeseburgers.
Sure.
Like that was my third heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel your arteries clogging as you eat it.
Yeah, each heartbeat is painful.
Yeah, it becomes like, oh, is this the one? Nope, I'm good.
I've been on a diet, and today was my cheat day. Me and my wife went on a date, and we were in Orlando, and I found
they went to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
Chuck E. Cheese.
But, no, we did not go to Chuck E. Cheese.
We went last week.
I found a
We're
gelato.
So sick of Chuck E. Cheese.
I found a gelato place, and they had I went so ham. It was a waffle, but instead of like waffle mix, it was brownie mix. So it was a brownie waffle with three scoops of gelato and ice cream drizzled with chocolate
you
sauce.
You did go ham. Monster. That's like
I ate the whole thing by myself.
Yeah, that is intense.
There's so cheat good. Days, and then there's we just started at ground it's like, zero. It's like
I gained 10 pounds. I had lost 8
from
now.
One,
I gained 10.
From one brownie waffle with gelato on it. I don't know how it happened.
But yeah,
I mean, it sounds great though.
So next time you're in Texas near Dallas, go to Shangri Lama. They have some awesome.
They have llamas.
Parties.
Do you really want to plug that? Like,
if you bring up alpacas, though, they're going to get upset. Just don't do it.
All right, Napoleon Dynamite. Was Tina an alpaca or a llama? Ooh.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Get ready to get triggered. Whoever gets triggered by that, it's a llama.
It's a llama.
You just made that up.
I'm just picking one.
I had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, it's like I got two.
Is it a 50-50 chance? It's either 100% right or 100% wrong.
Yeah, but that's 50-50, right? It's either one or the other.
Yeah.
It's coin flip, llama. I'm leaning into it. I'm going to just brave that new world.
Dang it, Tina. You got to Google it. You got to Google
okay.
it.
Google okay. It. We're gonna find out. We're going to find out real quick. All right. It was Tina, right?
Tina, right? I think so.
Dang it, Tina.
Tina, Napoleon Dynamite, llama or alpaca? Write it in the comment
Here
section.
Here we go.
Llama. Wait, no, it's a question.
Llama.
It's a llama. Llama. That's how you do it. You got to believe in yourself. That's all it takes. You just blindly say things that you have no idea if they're accurate.
I want to thank Shangri Llama.
I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the Academy for recognizing this achievement. I want to thank llamas everywhere and not alpacas. They can get out of here. And next, I discovered this week someone named Steed Bonnet. I'm assuming it's Bonnet because he's from England, but who knows?
Bonnet.
If it was French, I would have guessed that. I don't know. But he is an early 18th century Barbadian pirate. And he was a pirate that went up to New York. He went to the Carolinas. But here is the amazing part about this pirate. Let me tell you why he became a pirate. Bonnet was driven to piracy by Mary's nagging. And Mary is his wife. And discomforts he found in a married state. This man was born an English gentleman. He was raised well, wealthy, and literally got sick enough of his wife that he became a pirate. Most pirates, how do you think they get their ship? They go steal it. Not Bonnet. He went and bought a ship. He went to a shipwright, and he's like, I want you to make me a sick ship. With a bunch of cannons on it, everything. And just, he's like, you know what, I'm out of here.
So you got any pirate ships?
It didn't raise any alarms that he wants, like, give me one of those skull and crossbones flags.
I bet he ordered the flag on Amazon. You know, he's like, I need to at least outsource that.
Give me the most pirate-y flag you got.
he's like, don't worry about the flag. Just build me the boat, and I'm going to go. And I am curious, like, was he like, I'm going to go on a trip? I'm just going to just don't worry. I'm going to just go out real quick.
So I just want to confirm. He started in the Carolinas and he pirated all the way up to New York. Like he didn't.
He bounced around. So his initial cruise took him to the coast of Virginia, near Chesapeake Bay.
So he went like 30 miles.
He captured
from home
and plundered four vessels. No, he's from England.
So he was pretty successful.
I thought
as
you
a
said that he was from South Carolina.
No. This is the places he pirated.
Oh, he went to South from England.
He was uncomfortable enough in his situation that he bought a very nice boat.
In England. And brought it over.
And was like, I'm out of here. Crossed the ocean.
I mean, I've been uncomfortable in my marriage a few times, but I've never thought to resort to piracy.
No, this is not.
I mean, I pirate movies all the time.
Uncomfortable is not an accurate word to describe. I'm going to become a pirate.
Like quite literally raping and pillaging.
And I can't confirm the raping. Pillaging, definitely. Like he went and he started in Virginia. He went all up the East Coast. So that was kind of like a thing where there's ports all up the East Coast. So they would kind of just hit random places and they'd steal stuff.
Just the Yankee rumble.
Yeah. And apparently at one point he got into the real stuff and people were upset about it. And
people didn't like him stealing their
stuff.
They
were not a fan of him attacking Boston. They weren't. And so he was attacked. They took his boat. They destroyed it. And they dismantled it for timber is the wording on this article. And the remains were then burned. So they took everything they could. Then they burned the rest. He was shot and was seriously injured. And then he started working with Blackbeard.
He was shot but not killed.
No, so he was not killed. Yeah, he was alive.
Injured but got away.
Yes. And so he started working with Blackbeard while he was in Nassau, Bahamas.
Collaboration with Blackbeard. They make it sound like we're dropping an EP summer, me and Blackbeard.
2020. Blackbeard and Bonnet, let's go. But then he essentially my favorite, he ended up having like a bunch more pirating escapades.
I see this is like 9,000.
Yeah, he was eventually executed. Yeah, he was.
Oh yeah, there's him.
So yeah, he was hung at some point because of his pirating. But my favorite part about discovering this, and I talked last week about Black Bart, I talked about it. What I looked into is there was a Reddit thread about gentlemen criminals. So they call him the gentleman pirate, because he started out as a fancy English gentleman and literally got mad enough at his wife, or just generally unhappy enough, that he became a
cruise.
Yeah. I mean, that's a way to describe it. Just like, hey, I see what you have on that boat. Give it to me or you're getting shot. And just.
No, it's probably more like, howdy ho, boys. Please give me a ship.
I mean, I like that better, honestly.
Where does Boston come into this?
No, he's a gentleman pirate. I've got some tea over here.
Look at his mustache, though. Like, seriously.
Yeah, look how fancy this man is.
He's got one of those, like, waxy pointed mustaches.
Look how fancy he is.
My name's Steve.
His eyes don't point in the same direction.
They don't, but that's how you know a good pirate. He needs an eye patch.
He should have had an eye patch.
It's like, look, now it's a good pirate. Now it's a good pirate right there. Done.
I see. I can't.
Did you know why they wore the eye patches?
What?
Did you know why they wore eye patches?
I do know this, but I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Yeah, for night vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've thought about testing it, but I'm too lazy, I guess, or I don't know.
They're $3 at Walgreens if you really wanted an eye patch.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. It's not a whole lot of commitment to get into it, to get into trying to see if you have night vision because of an eye patch. I mean, you do have to commit to wearing an eye patch.
But how many times in life do you really want to test that or need
night vision? Or when do I need night vision?
Hey,
never.
Have you ever stubbed a toe in the middle of the night?
I have.
Have you ever stepped on a Lego on your way to the bathroom?
Having an eye patch would not have helped me in any of those situations. Because it's so dark that neither of my eyes would work.
Have you ever tried it? Don't say that it wouldn't help.
You don't know.
Who knows, really? There's no way to know, except by doing.
So, I didn't quite discover this week, but I discovered some of the videos from Gerald Houston, who is a viral comedian that I'm working with. We're getting ready to launch his merchandise line. It's going to go live like in the next day or two. So just a couple of designs that they came up with on their end. It's nothing from our inside creative, but this guy has a million followers on Instagram, 700,000 on Facebook. And what he does is he goes out and he pranks people. We could probably pull something up on YouTube to show one of his more popular videos, but he goes out and he just pulls pranks on people, pretends that somebody is like a famous rapper or a famous movie star because they vaguely look like them. And this dude's hilarious. Like, it's all 15-second Instagram clips, and he's just gone completely bonkers. And he's getting deals with some Hollywood movie studios, and he's making appearances on national TV and stuff like that. This guy's really lighting a fire under him. And because I've been working with his brother on completely unrelated stuff, they're ready to go and launch this thing. So we're going to try out
That's awesome.
A lot of our ideas and creative on him. But I discovered some of his videos because you hear about these people, but if they're not in like your circle of what you would normally watch, you're not paying attention to it. You know, there's something to be said about fame in an area that you're interested in. You know, it's like if somebody has 1 million followers and it's something that I care about, then it's like, oh my gosh, they got 1 million followers. But if it's like, oh yeah, this is somebody that you know and they have 1 million followers, it's like, oh, well, maybe I should check their stuff out. It's just different.
Sure.
And that's kind of where this was.
We'll include all of this so everybody can check it out. And everybody who's watching live, we will throw it in there once we're done here. For the final discovery of the week, it is the latest episode of the Creators Cove I did with somebody that literally Kirk got to see the song performed live at Mountain Holler and Friends. Her name is June Bustamante. She is from St. Pete. She is an incredible person. And if you want to hear more about her journey and her experience with like discovering what it was like to be semi-famous and have people recognize you and what that feels like and the music making process and just in general, her creative process. I have a new episode of Creators Cove out and you can check it out. But in general, this song is called Goodness in Us. And as always, we have a discovery hotline. You can find it on our Facebook. You can find it on our Twitter.
It'll be in the show notes.
We're going to put it out there as many places as we can. If you discover something awesome this week, let us know what it is. Call in and we'll feature you on the show. We would love to have you tell us something awesome you discovered this week. Follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Get in touch however you can. We'd love to hear from you.
Watch the YouTube live stream because then you get to watch the shows way before we actually release them on Spotify or iTunes.
And you get to watch them live.
The you can chat at us. Right now we're looking at Bagware just said, what's up?
Hey, Bagware.
Not much. We're recording, man. But we're glad you're here. You know, we would love to have everybody be a part of what we're doing. And so join us.
And don't forget to buy the Podcast Discovery merchandise that's going to be launching as soon as I deliver it.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah, I didn't want to put you on blast out here, but we're waiting on some t-shirts that our man here has been making. We're excited.
They've been cooking.
No, but also keep an eye out for...
That means they're going to be good.
Like, keep an eye out for... We're going to be working with Richie going forward. We're friends. It makes sense. It's going to be happening. We're going to have some new merch coming. He makes great stuff. We're going to be talking about what you can get through the Neighborhood Print Shop. Keep an eye out. We have a lot of cool stuff coming. We want you guys to be a part of it. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy Goodness in Us by June Bustamante.
Bye. Cannot do this alone. Oh, my goodness, please answer my call. Yeah, help me to help these people see that they are not alone. Sorrow, into anger or pain, all we ask.
ask is for good examples on how to be a good human being. We've got a big pill to swallow. We've got a tough cookie to crack. All we ask is good advice to follow to help each other take the weight off our backs. Let's help each other take the weight off our backs. Please help me take the weight off my back. Answer the call. Yeah, we are all tired, 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 and we cannot do this alone. Yeah, we cannot do this alone. No, we cannot. We cannot
Network. You can check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.